Sweet spirit in this place. My, my, my. Giving glory to God the Father, my Creator. Giving glory to God the Son, my Redeemer. Giving glory to God the Holy Spirit, my Sustainer. I just want to say good morning, Redeemer. Amen. I want to tell you, I walked in the door and the music ministry was just blessing my soul. I knew it was going to be all right today when they start singing hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's give our music ministry some. Amen. Amen. I'm a little old fashioned. I look for the signs. Lord, give me a sign that today is going to be all right. Amen. Amen. I'm looking out. And I see so many smiling faces, so many happy faces, and I just thank all of you for how you have blessed my soul. I mean, words cannot express the love that you have shown me. Amen? I want to acknowledge two women, and we're going to get right to the word, if that's all right. First, I want to acknowledge my mother. You got to acknowledge your mother. Mom, would you stand? Got to look out for Mom. Mom looks out for me. And then, the joy of my life. Amen. Would you stand? God bless you. Look at you. Amen. Go ahead, baby. Yeah. That's all right. All right. Yeah. See, I'm trying to show the men I won't have no problems. Will I leave? I have no problems at all. Amen. 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 You know, this week has been a very interesting week for me. It's a week where I was seeking the Lord on what message do I bring today. And I had a message in my file cabinet, and I went, I grabbed it, and I started reading it, and I said, well, you know, this one ain't going to work. And it was like the Lord was saying, you're going to have to roll up your sleeves and give the people of Redeemer something fresh, something new, something real, and something relevant. Amen. Amen. And what I want to do today is I want to do what we call in the seminary a didactic sermon. Mm-hmm. All right? Didactic is just a big fancy word for teaching. That's all it is. That's all it is. So what I'm saying is, I don't know if you came to shout this morning. I'm giving a disclaimer. I believe God's word will make a shout, but this is not a shouting sermon. You with me? And what God was ministering to me is, as a minister, we have a challenge and an obligation to our society today. Our society, and I'm not talking about y'all, our society today is the most biblical illiterate society there's ever been. In other words, you can no longer assume that everybody knows the stories of the Bible. Can't do that no more. You cannot assume that everybody here knows what Second Sunday is all about. Can't assume that. So we're going to take an opportunity to talk about what Second Sunday is all about. Amen? Amen. I know you have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. And I want to look at one verse. Verse 13. Exodus 12, verse 13. Now, if you have the King James Version, it reads this way: and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are. And when you see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. If you have the NIV, it reads this way. The blood will be a sign for you on your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Now, if you like having the most current, most accurate, the closest translation of scripture you can get, that's the New Revised Standard. It reads this way. The blood shall be a sign for you on your houses where you live. And when you see the blood, I'll pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike Egypt. This morning, for the next 20 minutes or so, I want to talk from the theme, the subject, or the title, I'm covered. I'm covered. Now, in case your neighbor is going through the day, tell your neighbor you're covered. Now, perhaps it's me that's experiencing the challenges today that I need to tell myself, I'm covered. I'm covered. There are times as believers when we find ourselves experiencing some type of crisis that's interrupting our lives. I know I'm right about it. What I have learned is that these crises, trials, storms, whatever words you want to pick, troubles, come in many sizes. I would go as far to say is that they're tailor-made just for me, just for you. Your crisis is not my crisis. My crisis is not your crisis. But if we be honest for 1 minute, from the pulpit to the door, everybody under the sound of my voice is experiencing some type of crisis. Your crisis could be physical, concerning your health. For example, you eat the right food. You work out on a daily basis. And for some unknown reason, you don't know why you have health problem after health problem after health problem. And you got a family member that eat pig feet, collard green, red. I'm just. Maybe your crisis could be financial. I'm talking to the person pays a tithe and gives an offer. But you just can't seem to get the ends to meet. I mean, there is always more month than money. And you can't figure it out. If it ain't one thing, it's another. Sometimes, if you're honest about it, feel like just the walls are just coming in on you. Talking about crisis after crisis. Maybe, your crisis is spiritual. You know what I mean by that? I mean, theologians refer to it as the silence of God. It means that there are times where you cannot feel the presence of God. You just can't feel it. Where are you? Like when I pray, it seems like your prayer just don't go nowhere. And you just cry out, God, where are you? Give me a sign. Speak to me, Lord. But you just get the silence of God. Now, if you look back over your life. And I know there's somebody here that knows that whatever we've experienced, any type of crisis, that we know without a shadow of a doubt, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, I'm talking about when the weapon is formed, because the Bible doesn't say the weapon won't be formed. It says that no weapon formed, meaning weapons will be formed. But when the weapon that's formed against you don't prosper, I'm going somewhere. Like the psalmist would say, 1,000 fall at my right, 10,000 on my left, but it won't come near me. What I'm trying to say is I'm covered. I'm covered. I hope you ain't close your Bible. In our text today, we find the Israelites experiencing a crisis. They have been slaves for over 400 years in Egypt. Think about that for a minute. God's chosen people have been suffering in pain and misery for over 400 years. The text is tailored to teach us that none of us are exempt. But it's good news in the text. See, the good news is, in spite of their current crisis, they are now on the eve of deliverance. The text is tailored to teach us that our God promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Texas tailored to teach us that our God is a deliverer. For our ancestors used to sing, didn't our Lord deliver Daniel? Didn't he deliver the four Hebrew boys? And didn't he deliver you and me out of the muck and the miry? Our God is a deliverer. Here we are, chapter 12. I'm in the text. God is giving instructions to Israel as he's about to deliver them from Egypt. That's good news. For our God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What I'm saying is somebody under the sound of my voice is on the eve of your deliverance. And all you need to do is simply follow the divine instructions of our Lord. You see, these divine instructions in chapter 12 is what's known as the institution of the Passover. Now, I'm not going to assume you're familiar with the Passover. So real simply, the Passover dealt with the 10th plague, and the Israelites were ordered to kill a lamb and prepare it for eating with bitter herbs. They were also ordered to put the blood of the lamb and use it and mark it on the doorpost. For the text says, the blood will be a sign that when God's death angel comes to the house and it sees the blood, that it will pass over. And no death of the firstborn will come to that household. You see, each house had to have the blood applied to the doorpost. And if the blood was applied, the house was saved. They were covered by the blood. Now, for the Israelites who believe God, I'm going to say that again, who believe God and not what they felt. So often, when we have to do something, we say, I ain't feeling that. We got to do what God's word says, regardless of how you feel. Those that that trusted in his word. I love this scripture where it says we don't trust in chariots or horses. In other words, we don't trust in a lottery or dice. Trust in God. And we're obedient to his command. In other words, we got to do what God says do. Death did not come to those who believed God, trusted his word, and obeyed in his commandment. No death came that first Passover. But those without the blood of the Lamb applied on their doorposts suffered the death of the firstborn, which was the 10th plague. Now watch this. Whether they were Egyptian or an Israelite, you missed it. All right. Chapter 11, you with me? Moses, who we look at as being the pastor of the First Baptist Church of the Wilderness, right. Mount Sinai. Right? Moses, in chapter 11, calls a church meeting. And at the church meeting, Moses gives the instructions. What I'm trying to tell you is some of the Israelites didn't come. Help us. Help us. I ain't gonna never miss another church meet. I'm gonna just say. Back. I need you to hear me on this one. Although God used 10 plagues against the Egyptians. I need you to hear me on this one. The Israelites' deliverance would require being covered by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, thanks be to God for the blood of the Lamb. Thanks be to God that we are covered by the blood. Augustine, reminded of a quote from St. Augustine. He's a 4th century theologian from North Africa. And Augustine says that the Old Testament conceals what the New Testament reveals. Now, for many refer to the Old Testament as being a foreshadow of Christ, meaning that Christ physically appears in the New Testament, in the Gospels. But Christ is also in the Old Testament. He's concealed, but he's there. In the New Testament, he's revealed physically. Just staying with this chapter, Exodus chapter 12, for example, we have the Old Testament, the Passover, concealed. And we know that Christ is the Passover in the New Testament, revealed. The Passover lamb in the Old Testament had to have no blemishes or defects. That's concealed. For in John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist, talking about reveal, says, there goes the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The blood that's applied to the doorposts in the Old Testament, that's concealed. When we get to the New Testament, Christ talks about the blood of the new covenant. That's revealed. The Passover is done in remembrance. That's concealed. When you get to the New Testament, Christ says, this is my new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me. That's revealed. What I'm trying to explain to you is Christ is in Exodus, the Lamb, the blood. Now, when we come to church every second Sunday, I'm downshifting. We do three things when we come every second Sunday. The first thing we do is we remember we're covered. The second thing that we do is we reflect on our covering. And the third thing that we do is we recognize Christ as the source of our covering. So when we come every second Sunday, we come to remember, we come to reflect, and we come to recognize. See, we come to remember that we are covered by the blood. See, in the Bible, Egypt is a type or a symbol of bondage and sin. So every second Sunday, we take time to remember that we are covered by the blood of Jesus. For it is the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. See, Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah said, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." Can I give it to you in English? God takes our sin-sick souls, and he takes our filthy rags of righteousness. God takes them into his laboratory. And what God does is he dips them in the red blood. And when he dips them in the red blood, we come out white as snow. My. Thank God for the blood. We come to reflect on our covering. We reflect on the fact that Jesus died in our place. See, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And wage implies a cost. God is a just God. And as a just God, sin must be dealt with. There's no way around it. Somebody got to pay the price. We thank God that Jesus paid the price. So we come and we reflect that we deserve to be on that rugged cross and to die. But Christ took our punishment. He substituted himself for us and took what rightly we deserve. I'm going to stay in the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us all, so that in him we might have the righteousness of God." Lastly, I'm about done. We come to recognize Christ as the source of our covering. See, God promised all who believed in him, trust in his word, and accept the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross for their sins, like the Israelites, will be exempt from death, and that's the physical death. See, we come to recognize that Christ is our source of redemption. Through his blood, we have the forgiveness of our sins. For the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. You see, Christ's blood makes the atonement for our sins. It is truly Christ, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world. Let me close. The text says, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And no plague shall destroy you." This reminds me of a story of a missionary. He was in a foreign country, which was at war with terrorists. And while the missionary was at this dinner gathering, the terrorists just bust through the door. All of them, powerful machine guns. Brrr, spray the whole, I want you to see, you got to see this. You got to see this. I'm painting a picture for you. They shoot up the whole room, killing everybody. The missionary fell to the floor and pretended to be dead. And once the terrorist left, the missionary realized he was still alive. When the missionary got up and was trying to assess the situation of why he was still alive, he realized that he was covered in another man's blood. And by being covered by the blood, he was able to keep his life. I don't know about you, but I'm covered by the blood. Songwriter said, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make me white as snow? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. It's the blood that reaches the highest mountain. It's the blood that flows through the lowest valley. The blood, it'll never lose its power. I stopped by today to tell somebody, no matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult the task, no matter how heavy the burden, we are covered in the blood. We're covered. We are covered in the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to testify real quick and I'm going to open the doors. I've been working this new job. Or shall I say the new job has been working me. And you have one of those days. And I'm on the highway and, you know, I'm reflecting. But I got to the point where I put my hand on my head. Yes, sir. And I said, I'm covered. I'm covered. I'm covered. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody that need to put your hand on your head and remind yourself that we're covered by the blood. And I want to tell you, whatever I was going through, it just seemed to pass. It's just a blessing. Just a blessing. As we stand on our feet, and as we open up the doors of the church, we thank God for Jesus' blood that we are covered. And because we are covered, we experience a multitude of blessings. We have redemption, atonement, and the list goes on and on. If there's somebody here that does not know Jesus the way that we know Jesus, and know about the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we ask you, or we extend to you, an opportunity to be covered by the blood. The blood that will wash away all of your sins. If you do not have a relationship with the Savior, Jesus Christ, we offer you an opportunity to get to know him, to start a relationship. Is there one among us that wants to know Jesus like we know Jesus? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? My. Yes, Lord. our second calling. You may be in a black sin condition, and you just need restoration to the fellowship. There's no better day to be restored than on Second Sunday, where we remember, reflect, and recognize about the blood that covers our sins. You may need to be reconnected, become part of a body of believers. So we want to restore you into the right fellowship. Is there one among us that needs that type of restoration? Would you come?
That makes me white. Why?